May we help to commence our evening worship by singing hymn 780 to the tune Ramsgate 589. Hymn 780, singing the first five verses. Come, my soul, and let us try for a little season. Every burden to lay by, come, and let us reason. What is this that casts thee down? Who are those that grieve thee? Speak, and let the worst be known. Speaking may relieve thee. Think how loud thy dying Lord cried out, it is finished. Treasure up that sacred word, whole and undiminished. Doubt not, he will carry on to its full perfection that good work he has begun. Why then this dejection? The first five verses of hymn 780 to the tune Ramsgate 589.
Thank you. Lord, may be pleased to help us. We will read from three portions of God's holy word. From the book of the Psalms, Psalm 103, Psalm 116, and then from the book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 14. Beginning with the book of the Psalms, Psalm 103. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger for ever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now turn to the 116th Psalm. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now, in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Now turn to the book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 14. The book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. May the Lord add his blessing on the reading of his holy word, and may he help and teach us to pray. O thou most holy and ever gracious and ever merciful Lord God, we come unto thee, Lord, at the evening hour, when another Lord's day is far spent and it is toward evening. And O Lord, we come now at the time of the evening hour. Lord, we come unto thee needing mercy. We come unto thee, Lord, with our desires once again to worship thee. And Lord, may we worship thee in spirit and in truth. And may we worship thee, Lord, from our hearts. with feeling, and Lord, with that true desire to worship Thee. And Lord, may we not have just come in to Thy house because it is another Lord's Day evening, but Lord, may we have come in with that real desire to praise God, from whom all blessings flow, and Lord, to give unto Thee the honour and the glory due unto Thy great and holy name. And Lord, may we be found here as we have come to the beginning of another week, and as we look back over the days of a week that has now passed, Lord, we have been brought safely through. Thou hast watched over us each. Thou hast granted us each the privilege again of worshipping in Thy house, around Thy word. And Lord, we have been found here once again, and we have a never-dying soul. We have Thy word before us, and we have come into Thy house. Lord, send none away empty tonight, but Lord, may there be that, Lord, that we have come into Thy house with the desire of the hymn writer. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with Thee bring. And O Lord, help us to have come into Thy house with our large petitions, with our desires, with our burdens, with our exercises, with our causes are too hard for us. But Lord, nothing is too hard for Thee. Lord, nothing. And Lord, help us to bring what are our seeming impossibilities unto Thee. And Lord, may we be found then with our desires up unto Thee. And Lord, come and open up Thy word to us. Do not leave it, Lord, to be just a sealed book to us. Do not leave it to just be black words upon a white page. But Lord, may they, as we read them, as we preach from them, and as we hear them preached from, may they enter into our hearts. May they read us as we read them. And Lord, may Thy word enter into our hearts and do us good. May there be, Lord, that done within our hearts this night, Lord, that will stand the test of time and eternity. Lord, may Thy word remain and abide with us. May it do us good, Lord. Thou knowest how it is with each one as they have made their way here this night. Thou knowest how it is with each one in their life and in their pathway. Lord, Thou knowest all things. Nothing is hid from Thee, not even the thoughts and intents of our hearts and minds, the deepest thoughts, because Lord, Thou knowest, Thy word says the heart is deep, but yet Lord, Thou seest all, Thou knowest all, Thou seest into the very depths of our hearts. And Lord, may Thy word enter into the very depths of our hearts. Lord, may it, Lord, enter in, and may it bear fruit to Thine honour and Thy glory. Lord, may we go on our way rejoicing here this evening, Lord, as we read of in Thy word. And O Lord, as we hear it expounded on, Lord, may it meet our case. May it enter in, and may we go, Lord, lifted up out of the dunghill, and with our feet set upon the rock, and the rock Christ Jesus. And O Lord, may we go into the week that lies before us, Lord, with that food for our soul, Lord, that rest and refreshment, Lord, that we may have taken from the day, this Lord's day, for our soul spiritually. And Lord, come and feed us now and evermore. Remember this dear cause of truth, Lord, go on before them. Help them, Lord, be unto them all that they feel to need. Lord, Thou knowest they have been brought low, but Lord, raise them up. Lord, help them, encourage them, support them, O Lord. And O Lord, bless Thy word in their midst. And Lord, be with each one. Be with the young, Lord, and the children. Be with them in their lives. Go before them, O Lord, and help them. Do, Lord, work in their young hearts. Help them to feel their need of Thee. Draw them by Thy resistless grace. Grant unto them, Lord, whilst young in years, softened hearts and tender consciences. Lord, work mightily within them. Lord, have mercy upon them. Lord, they each have a never dying soul. Lord, and may they be brought to see the vanity of all things here below. May they be so wrought upon whilst young in years. May they be those Samuels here in thy house. And O Lord, be with them. Be with them in their lives. Be with them as they go to school, and be with them as they go to college and university. Lord, help them. Draw near unto them. Lord, thou knowest there is much to discourage in the day in which we live, much to harden and draw them away. But Lord, draw them to thyself. Keep them, watch over them, have mercy, Lord, upon them. And O Lord, do keep them, O Lord, for they need thy keeping power. They need thy watchful eye. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. And Lord, bring any wanderers back, Lord, into thy house. Thou knowest where they are, thou knowest who they are, but bring them back. We do beg of thee, Lord, that they might be like the prodigal son. I will return unto my father's house. And Lord, oh, may there be that looking, watching, waiting for them and for their returning. Lord, be with each one then. Lord, remember the parents. Have mercy upon them. Lord, thou knowest in the day in which we live. Lord, the day is hard. The day is a dark day. But yet, Lord, oh, do help each one, support, uphold them. And, oh, Lord, do help them. We do beg of thee in their cases, their needs, their trials, their difficulties, whatever it may be. Lord, thou knowest. Remember, Lord, those older in years too, feelingly drawing nearer to their journey's end. Lord, draw near unto them. Help them, bless them, go before them. In those lonely hours, Lord, draw near, and may thy presence be felt and known. Remember our own dear Father, Lord, gone forth from them here this day, Lord, in the ministry. Lord, be with him and and help him. and bless thy word, Lord, through him this day. Lord, thou knowest the word that thou hast sent him with. And Lord, may he be helped to deliver it. May it be followed with thy blessing. May it be attended with the power of the Spirit. And Lord, be with him and help him. And Lord, in his affliction too, grant that continued restoration. Lord, that he may be restored once again to full health. Lord, help him and be with him. Grant him those encouragements in the way. And his dear one also, Lord, in the pathway. For Lord, thou knowest the pathway of the wife of thy servants, what they have to bear, what they have to sacrifice. But Lord, remember her too, and bless her in that sacrifice that she makes. And Lord, be with each one then. Remember the dear deacon here too, Lord, in all that falls upon him. Lord, thou knowest, Lord, all that they bear. And Lord, be with them, Lord, each time as he comes to the desk. And Lord, his family too in that sacrifice, Lord, in the diaconate. And Lord, be with each one then, Lord. Each church member, each member of the congregation, be with them. Come and meet with us here, Lord, this night. Come and grant us thy felt presence, Lord. O Lord, come and breathe by the Holy Spirit upon thy word into the hearts of thy people, and upon thy word that it may be attended by the Spirit, and Lord, that it may be applied by the Spirit. And Lord, that we might go out of the house of God filled with that love to thee, that love to thy word. And O Lord, that love to thy house and thy ways. Lord, be with us then. Help us. Lord, remember Britain, all guilty as she is. Lord, have mercy upon us, for Lord, we are part of this guilty nation. Our individual sins make up the collective sins of this land. And Lord, we do ask that thou wouldst come, revive thy work here. O Lord, we beg. Come, Lord, and do breathe by the Holy Spirit upon the villages, the towns and the cities up and down our land. Lord, that the houses of God may once again be filled with hungering, thirsting souls waiting to be fed. Lord, thou knowest we are being brought low as churches and, Lord, in Zion throughout this land and throughout the world. But Lord, use all these things that have come upon this land and throughout the world. Lord, the utter confusion that man is in, the emptiness, Lord, in the lives of so many. Lord, may it be used to thine honour and thy glory. Lord, that there may be those turned out of nature's darkness into that marvellous light. Lord, that these things may fall out to the fervence of the gospel. And what man thinks is confusion, Lord, is all ordered by thee. For there is no mistake with thee. There is no confusion with thee, because, Lord, thou art the God of order, not of confusion. But, Lord, be with us then, Lord of the land. Come, and, O Lord, appear. Come and appear for our churches, Lord. Come, Lord, and revive us, though, individually in our own hearts. For, Lord, we cannot expect a revival in our churches unless we have a revival in our own hearts too. Come and revive us. Come and revive our churches. Come and revive our land. We do beg of thee. Remember too, Lord, the dear friends at home at Trowbridge. Lord, be with them. We do beg that thou wouldst bless that reading service this morning. And, O Lord, do bless the word through thy servant this evening. Lord, be with them there. Bless them there. And, O Lord, and do bless thine own word. May there be that flowing together here this evening too, between that a bit, with that which has been attended to in the former part of the day. Lord, may there be that flowing together. And, O Lord, do go before us. Come, Lord, and leave us not to confusion. Come and open up thy word to us. Come and pour in, that we may be enabled to pour out. And in the pouring out, O Lord, may thy word enter into the hearts of thy people. May it do them good. May it be just what they feel to need. For thou knowest what they need. We do not know, but thou dost know. And, O Lord, nothing is hid from thee. Come and direct thy word then, Lord. Come, Lord, and cause it to enter into the heart. And, O Lord, help there to be that prayer in the pew, that there might be that power in the pulpit. Lord, have mercy upon us then now. Pardon, Lord, our every sin. And Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. Pardon our sins of omission, even in our thankful praises. And, O Lord, do come and bless us. Come and bless thy word. Send us home, Lord, with thy blessing this night. Encourage us, Lord, in the way. And, O Lord, do help us. Do then be with us now as we sing thy praises. And, O Lord, do, Lord, come and help us. Do make up in giving where we have failed in our asking. Do pardon, Lord, what we may have spoken amiss. For thy great and holy name's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Paul Tyler is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Kingham next Lord's Day evening. And as helps, there will be a red address during the prayer meeting, a red sermon during the morning service. The collection and donations for the month: in the general fund, £660. In the benevolent fund, £17. We desire to thank the friends for their willing giving and acknowledge the Lord's mercies to us. Let us now continue our worship as helped, singing 781, the last 5 verses of 781, and the tune Ramsgate 589, commencing at verse 6. Faith, when void of works, is dead. This the scripture witness, and what works have I to plead, whom all unfitness? All my powers are depraved, blind, perverse, and filthy. If from death I'm fully saved, why am I not healthy? Pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind as strong, mercy joined with power. Every work that thou must do, will thy gracious Saviour for thee work, and in thee too, of his special favour. Hymn 781, commencing at verse 6, tune Ramsgate 589.
Thank you.
the Lord may be pleased to help us, I direct your attention to the word that you will find in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 116, and reading for our text, verses 12 and 13. The book of the Psalms, Psalm 116, and reading for our text, verses 12 and 13. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. This psalm, dear friends, is one of those psalms that, as is the case with most of them, they show the downsittings and the uprisings of the child of God. They show the trials and the tribulations of the way. But also they show the valleys, and they show the mountaintops. And here, dear friends, in this psalm, we see the work of the Lord in this psalmist's life. We see in the beginning, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. But dear friends, the psalmist wasn't there the whole way through the psalm, because he then takes us to where he has been, where the Lord had allowed him to go. And dear friends, and down into the valleys he takes us, because he says, the sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And dear friends, when we read that, we could hardly comprehend that those two verses, or that one verse 3, was linked to verses 1 and 2. Because they are, in that respect, poles apart. But yet, dear friends, the Lord deals with his people in such a way. And here we have it. The psalmist had to go down into the depths before he could come up and say, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And you know then, dear friends, he had to go down. And what does the Lord's word say? In the Apostle Peter says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You see there, dear friends, the Lord will humble his people. He will lay them low, but he will not leave them there. And he didn't, the psalmist here. The sorrows of death compass me. And yet, dear friends, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And you know, when you look at that, I love the Lord. Can we say the same? You might say, but the Lord has led me through some darksome paths. The Lord has allowed me to go here and there. The Lord has allowed me to go down into this deep ravine. But yet, dear friends, when we think of it, the psalmist says, doesn't he, in the psalm regarding, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And then you think too, dear friends, of the psalmist, where he says in similar language, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, dear friends, when the shepherd led forth his sheep to fresh pastures, it meant going down into, at times, the valley of the shadow of death, as was it a reality. And yet it was dark as they entered into the valley. And the sheep, but that, yet they had to follow. They heard the shepherd's voice, they heard his movements, and they could follow him, and they were comforted by his voice. And dear friends, then can you say in your trial, your difficulty, I love the Lord. Why? Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And like the sheep bleating in anxiety or in anxiousness, as they fear as they enter into the valley, and the shepherd hears their bleatings, and he speaks to them. He comforts them as he goes through, and they are comforted to know that he is with them, that he is going before them, as he says in Psalm, as we've just read in Psalm 121, we read there, and we have just read there, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And then the psalmist says in that psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. But you say, look at the psalmist in this Psalm 116 where our text is. He was taken down into the sorrows of death and encompassing him and the pains of hell getting hold upon him. He found trouble and sorrow, so surely he was in want. But he wasn't. He felt like he was, but then called I upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord knew what to do with the psalmist to get him to that point. The Lord knew where he perhaps was before. Perhaps prayerless, perhaps indifferent, perhaps careless. But yet, dear friends, and we all come there. But yet the Lord knows what to do with us to bring us to that point. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Deliver my soul. And that Psalm 23, he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea. Look what we've just said. Lying down in green pastures, leading beside the still waters, restoring my soul. All seemed to be, as it were, all smooth, all plain sailing. And perhaps, dear friends, there has been a time when the Lord has drawn near, and when the Lord has greatly blessed us, and we have felt the Lord has been so close, and it has seemed as though there would never be a time of trouble again. But yet, dear friends, then we come there. The sheep has been led to, made to lie down in green pastures, led beside still waters, restoring my soul, leading me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, dear friends, I will fear no evil. Now often we read of the Lord's people going through the furnace, and the furnace of affliction, the furnace of trials, difficulties. But yet, dear friends, you read it in Psalm 107. The Lord didn't take away their trials and their difficulties, but what he did do, he was with them in it. He didn't leave them there. He didn't leave the three Hebrew children at the door of the furnace. He went with them into it. He didn't leave those in Isaiah where it says he brought the third part through the fire. He went with them through the fire. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, never forget that the shepherd goes before his sheep. He walks that same path that they do. And that great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus himself, he goes before his people. He knows how to deal with them, and he knows how to deal with you and me. He knows our stubborn will. He knows our stiff neck. He knows our hard heart. He knows our rebellion. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yes, when we get out of the way and the staff is brought in to bring us back, the rod that taps against the wall, as it were, of that valley of the shadow of death, to let the sheep know that that shepherd is going before them. That rod that sees them into the door when they come to the sheepfold, it comforts them. As it were, makes contact with the ground as the shepherd goes, it comforts them. Why? Because thy presence, his presence that goes before his people, and his presence that does not leave his people. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But they had to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because beyond the valley of the shadow of death, thou preparest a table before me. In the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Really, sometimes I picture those goodness and mercy like two sheepdogs following up behind. Goodness and mercy keeping us in the way. Goodness and mercy keeping the enemy from us. Goodness and mercy keeping us from straying into the verges, into the woodland, out of the way where we think that the grass is greener on the other side. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But we come back to our text. What shall I render then unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? You look at the psalmist, as I said, I love the Lord. Then he comes down, the sorrows of death encompass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Then he says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Dear friends, and he helped me. Why? Because he then comes there, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Can you come in there? Can you come in here? I believed, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. They are the words that precede this text. Then the psalmist says, well, what shall I render? What shall I return unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? You might say, well, considering the catalogue that you've just read out of Psalm 116, it doesn't sound like there are many benefits. It doesn't sound like there was much in the way of what the Lord had done, but dear friend, there is. The Lord preserveth. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. I believe, therefore have I spoken. The Lord hath heard my voice and my supplication. He hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Dear friends, the path that the psalmist was in was no plain sailing path, but yet there was teaching for him in it. He was being taught all the way through his insufficiency, but the Lord's sufficiency. He was being taught the weakness of his independence, and the dependence he needed upon the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord? Dear friends, well, where would the psalmist have been had the Lord not been in it? Had the Lord not delivered him? Had the Lord not heard his prayer? Remember where he was? The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And sometimes, dear friends, we can be left to bring ourselves into trouble and sorrow. But sometimes the Lord will allow it that we are brought into trouble and sorrow. But yet, then called I upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord heard him. He was brought low, but yet the Lord helped him. And yet you read it, dear friends, in the... I often quote these words because I think they are... there's so much in them. But that which in Hannah's prayer, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. Look at the contrasts. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. Dear friends, there was that bringing down before the exaltation. They were laid low, they were killed, they were made alive. But they didn't remain in their first state, where the Lord took them first. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. That's where the psalmist was brought. Call upon him. Call upon the name of the Lord, casting all your care upon him. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Dear friends, the psalmist, one verse before, said in my haste. In the previous verse, I was greatly afflicted. He was in no comfortable place. But yet, as you have just been singing, the hymn writer said, didn't he? He said there, pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind as strong, mercy joined with power. Every work that thou must do will thy gracious Saviour for thee work, and in thee too of his special favour. And then, dear friends, too, so pour not on thyself too long. Look at the psalmist as an example. He wasn't dwelling there for too long, was he? No, because as the psalmist said in Psalm 5, he says there, dear friends, and may that be your portion if you've come into the Lord's house tonight deflated, and if you've come into the Lord's house tonight trodden down by the devil. What does the Lord say? Through the psalmist in Psalm 5, he says, this was the psalmist's prayer. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry. That means listen and take notice of my cry. My King and my God. Dear friends, he wasn't praying to a God of wood or stone that couldn't hear him. He was praying, and we pray, to a living God who has been made flesh and dwelt among us. He understands. He is that compassionate great high priest. He's walked a path of sorrow here, dear, far deeper than you and I will ever walk. He has walked here below a path of poverty far greater than we have ever known here below. He has walked here below a path of being amongst those that the Lord's word says in Isaiah 53. We read there of him. In Isaiah 53 we read he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was stricken and afflicted. And dear friends, then, the psalmist, He was in a path of trial, but he didn't remain in self-pity street. He came, dear friends, to that. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And as that little hymn says, doesn't it? Count your blessings, count them one by one. Then you'll see what the Lord has done. And that's really where the psalmist had come. Count them. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. And as I said, we pray to a living God. We pray to a God who has walked here below and knows trial, sorrow, pain, and even times of mourning. He knew the loss of his father, the loss of his friend. He knew hardship. But yet he is also my King and my God. Dear friends, he's not just a poor fellow, as it were, that we have known here on this earth, that can help us, who we could say they can sympathise with us because they've been there before. No, this was God manifest in the flesh. And dear friends, then, he is also my God and my King. He has all power. And dear friends, in that dominion that he has, that we read in Psalm 103, we read about it in the closing verse, I believe it was. Bless the Lord all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul, in all places of his kingdom. Yes, his kingdom, dear friends, let us not forget who God is. He is the Lord of hosts. Yes, all men are in his hands, all angels are in his hands, everything here on this earth is in God's hands. He is in control of everything. He's in control of everything in your life and in mine. He was in control of everything in the psalmist's life, which is why the psalmist could then say, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Because firstly, the psalmist was brought to see he didn't deserve anything. He deserved to be left to the pains of hell getting hold of him. He deserved to be left to death compassing him. But yet he was praying, dear friends, to my King and my God. And he was praying to the compassionate high priest. And he says in Psalm 5, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Those four closing words. What instruction is in them? And dear friends, perhaps you, or perhaps I, here this evening, we are looking down, we're looking within, we're looking at the circumstances around. But the psalmist directs us, and we'll look up. Look up. I love the Lord. Can we say that then? Can we say then, dear friend, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And dear friends, the Lord doesn't correct his people in hatred. He corrects them because they're his. He corrects them in measure because he loves them, like a father corrects a child, their child. And he doesn't, dear friends, deal with us in what we think are hardships or difficulties or trials because he hates us. He does it because he loves his people. Because he is weaning them, because he is teaching them, because he will bring them and wean them of themselves. That's what we need being weaned of most. Our old self. Our old self that's full of pride, our old self that wants to be something and someone, our old self that wants to be independent and wise in our own eyes. But the Lord won't have it so. And he deals with his people just like he did the psalmist in Psalm 116. But yet the psalmist wasn't left, dear friends, to despair. No. Because he was brought there. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And look back through our lives. Look back through the things of providence. You might say, I haven't got anything of grace, of benefits. But look back in providence, if you can't in grace. Look back at what the Lord has done. Each and every day, the things that he has given, the times that he's appeared perhaps in providence, the times when he has answered prayer in providence. And dear friends, the Lord links providence with grace, as he did here. He brought those things upon the psalmist in providence, but yet, dear friend, they had a deeper meaning than just providence. Not in anger, but in his dear covenant love. Look at the children of Israel, how they had to be dealt with time and time again. Because the Lord knew their heart, and he knows your heart, and he knows my heart. And he knows what rebels we are by nature. He knows how we hate to be in submission to him by nature. So he will make and bend our will to his, in whatever way he pleases. He will soften our hard hearts in whatever way he pleases. And you might say, how the Lord deals with me, it just hardens my heart. But dear friends, well, the Lord may bring deeper things yet to soften that heart of yours. So you're then brought with a softened heart like the psalmist. What shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I return unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And that's when the Lord says, well, you don't deserve anything. When we are ungrateful for all his many mercies that he does give us. Day after day. And you might say, but what benefits? Dear friends, we're found in the Lord's house tonight. We're found here. And yet, dear friends, while there is life, there is hope. And we are each, this Lord's Day evening, out of a deserved hell. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? As we've come through another week of our short lives, can we not look back and see those benefits toward us? Those providential helps. You may say, well, I've earned the money, but who gave you the health and strength? You may say, well, this would have happened by chance anyway. No, dear friends. Nothing happens by chance. What shall I render? What shall I return? Well, what does the psalmist say? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Why? Because he had had those prayers answered. The Lord had appeared for him. Hence he could say, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And dear friends, as I said this afternoon, and I am guilty as any of it, we will often tell the Lord what is wrong. We will often tell him all our complaints. But how often do we really and truly take the cup of salvation? How often do we really and truly come to where the psalmist was in the 17th verse? I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Dear friends, that thanksgiving, if the Lord has begun to deal with us, if the Lord is dealing with us, you might say, but it's through sore trials. But yet, what does the hymn writer say? Why through darksome paths we go, we may know no reason, but we shall hereafter know, each in its due season. And dear friends, this cup of salvation, you also sung, think on what thy Saviour bore in the gloomy garden, sweating blood at every pore to procure thy pardon. See him stretched upon the wood, bleeding, grieving, crying, suffering all the wrath of God, groaning, gasping, dying. This by faith I sometimes view, and those views relieve me. But my sins return anew, these are they that grieve me. Oh, I'm leprous, stinking, foul, quite throughout infected. Have not I, if any soul, cause to be dejected? Well, if you are there, think on the next verse. What should I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? If the Lord has brought you there, I'm leprous, stinking, foul, quite throughout infected, then the Lord has begun to show you what you are by nature. He has begun to reveal to you the filth and corruption of your own heart, and he has begun to bring you there to be brought here, where the psalmist says, I was brought low. Where the psalmist says, I called upon the name of the Lord. Before the Lord showed you, you were leprous, stinking, foul, and throughout infected. You had no desire to call upon the Lord. You had no need to call upon the Lord. You may have had a few things that troubled you, that you called upon the Lord only when your trouble came. But perhaps now the Lord has brought this leprous, stinking, foul, throughout infected to the front. Perhaps you feel like you stink within. But yet the Lord then says, have not I, if any soul, cause to be dejected, the hymn writer asks. Think how loud thy dying Lord cried out, it is finished. Treasure up that sacred word, whole and undiminished. Doubt not he will carry on to its full perfection that good work he has begun. Why then this dejection? And dear friends, what shall I render unto the Lord? If the Lord has begun that work within your soul, what shall I render unto the Lord? I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord, because he will hear me, because he died for sinners' sake. He brought this concern into your heart if you are now brought there with the hymn writer. You didn't bring it about yourself, because by nature we don't want to know. We don't want to know we're sinners. We don't want to know how foul we are. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Yes, if he has begun to, or if he has quickened your soul into life, what a benefit. Because, as the hymn writer says, that good work he has begun, to its full perfection he will carry it on, until it is fully perfected. And then you look at it, what shall I render then? What shall I return? Well, the prophet in Hosea that we read earlier tells us there what we shall return. He says, there, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Can you come in there? Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Yes, and perhaps you come into the Lord's house tonight unclean, unclean, you say. Well, take with you words, the prophet says, and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Yes, in thankful praise. I will take the cup of salvation. Now the time is going, but that cup of salvation, there are those two ways that we can look at that cup of salvation. Firstly, the cup of affliction. The cup of affliction that the Lord lays upon his people, whether that be of affliction of mind, body, soul, circumstances, whatever the affliction that the Lord has laid upon his people, those crosses that he causes us to bear, the cup of salvation. You say, well, how can that be the cup of salvation? Because whatever cross lies at thy door, it cometh from the Lord. And those crosses, losses, trials and difficulties are part of that cup of salvation. That cup of affliction. And then, dear friends, when you feel like you can't take any more, consider what the Lord says in Hebrews. When the Lord tells us there in Hebrews 12, consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, bearing in mind he was sinless, spotless, innocent and pure, he had done no wrong. So then, dear friends, consider him. Yes, let's go back a verse. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, two things in that. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He'd done no wrong. We sinned. We deserve the Lord's wrath rather than his mercy. We deserve his judgment rather than mercy. And then if we are called to suffer a little, we are walking a little in Christ's suffering. Yes, whether that is suffering in affliction, whether it be of mind, body, soul or circumstance, it is that little walking in his suffering. And it is then that the Lord gives us the underneath the everlasting arms to even uphold us in it. We might not be faint and wearied in the way. But yet then the other part, dear friends, in that is this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. As I tried to speak from this morning at Heathfield, we spend our years as a tale that is told. And as I tried to tell the children then, a tale or a story has a beginning, it has an end, it has a storyline or a golden thread right through it, and it has an author. And dear friends, in our life, in our pathway, that tale that is told, that tale of our life, if we're among the Lord's people, it has a beginning because there is a time to be born. It has an end because there's a time to die. And if we're among the Lord's people, that storyline through it, that golden thread that's all the way through it, is the Lord himself. Yes, all the way that he has led us, all the way that he's gone before us. And he authors that book. The story of our lives, he is the author and the finisher of it. The beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. And dear friends, he knows your path from beginning to end because he has already authored it. He knows your tomorrow before you do. And he prepares his people for their tomorrows. He goes before his people, like the shepherd, taking them through the valley of the shadow of death. But then you see that cup of salvation. The cup of consolation. The Lord's comforting. The Lord's comforting to his people that he brings into these afflictions, trials and difficulties. The consolation. The cup of the consolation of his salvation. The consolation, dear friends, that these things of affliction that he brings us into are for our teaching, are for our good, are as part of that cup of salvation. the cup of consolation. Dear friends, perhaps you feel to be there this evening. Oh, grant me something of the cup of that consolation. Well, as the Lord says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. And he says it here in our text, and call upon the name of the Lord. Dear friend, that comfort to the child of God is that, as I said here a moment ago, we do not worship a God of wood or stone or a God that cannot hear. We read that his ear is ever open. We read that his arm is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. We read that he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Dear friend, what consolation in our seeking. But also, dear friends, when the Lord comes and blesses us, and gives us a glimpse and a hope in his salvation, then is a cup of consolation. I will take the cup of affliction, the cup of consolation, what that the Lord has given to him. Not in anger, but in his dear covenant love. And then he calls upon the name of the Lord. He who has helped me hitherto will help me on my journey through. Yes, he could thank the Lord for mercies past. He could thank the Lord and return thanks for all of that. He could return thanks for all his benefits toward him. But it gave him that encouragement to pray on, to knock on, to keep returning to this name of the Lord, keep calling upon him, because as he said, the Lord hath heard me. He hath inclined his ear unto me. And dear friends, we don't need to pray a long prayer of many words. We don't need to shout. We don't need to cry out loud. He hears the groanings of the prisoner. He sees the falling tear within. He hears the sighs. And he knows what is contained in a sigh and a groan and an O Lord. Or just the word O. He knows. Call upon the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation. And we might say too, the cup of thanksgiving, and call upon the name of the Lord. My mind went to that hymn in closing, to hymn 420. Oh, bless the Lord my soul. Let all within me join and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favours are divine. Oh, bless the Lord my soul, nor let his mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness, and without praises die. The psalmist, what didn't, did he? He had trials and he had difficulties, but yet he did not leave those mercies forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. 'Tis he forgives thy sins. 'Tis he relieves thy pain. 'Tis he that heals thy sicknesses and makes thee young again. He crowns thy life with love. When ransomed from the grave, he that redeemed my soul from hell has sovereign power to save. He fills the poor with good. He gives the sufferers rest. The Lord has judgments for the proud and justice for the oppressed. His wondrous works and ways he made by Moses known, but sent the world his truth and grace by his beloved Son. So you see, dear friends, the psalmist, even in that fifth verse, he fills the poor with good. He gives the sufferers rest. The psalmist had been in both of those places. The Lord has judgments for the proud, and perhaps he had been proud. Perhaps that's why the Lord had dealt with him as he did. But not to destroy him. He had judgments for the proud and justice for the oppressed, and perhaps, dear friends, he was oppressed. And he was oppressed. And the Lord, because he was brought low, and he helped me. dear friends, his wondrous works and ways he made by Moses known, but sent the world his truth and grace by his beloved Son. Well, may the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 622. Hymn 622 to June submission 421. O fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever be thy aid, and put the hosts of hell to flight. In every sore and deep distress, I am thy God, shall be thy stay. Thy God shall all thy woes redress, and drive thy guilty fears away. This soul-supporting truth contains all blessings that a God can give in sorrows, sicknesses, or pains. Thy God will every need relieve. Hymn 622, June submission 421.
pardon anything that thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss, and anything, Lord, that we may have spoken amiss. But Lord, do come and follow, Lord, with thy blessing, thine own word. Oh, do apply it and seal it into our hearts. Lord, may we take it with us home. And Lord, may we beat it out. May it do us good through another week. Lord, may we, Lord, render unto thee for all thy benefits with the cup of salvation. And O Lord, call upon thy name and continue to call upon thee. As thou art that prayer hearing and prayer answering, Lord God, though the devil may tell us our prayers go no higher than the ceiling, but yet, Lord, he is a liar and the father of lies. And Lord, help us to call upon thy name. Do be with us now then, Lord, as we leave thy house. Go with us. Take us to our homes or places of abode in peace and safety. And Lord, do, Lord, be with us now. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.